Hey, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, coming to you from Simpsonville, South Carolina, where I'm blending in every day. We have a great show to you, and I'm going to get right to it. My former coach, good friend, and soccer icon, Mr. Thomas Rongen, is with us today. Welcome, Thomas.
Hey, by the way, that intro will wake you up regardless what time of the day it is. Really, I love it.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Thanks for doing this, buddy. And I'm glad because now with so much going on, I'm like, I was surprised that you would even do it. I figured, you know, you had a red carpet, you had a, you know, you had maybe Entertainment Tonight one. You know, I'm like, I'm hoping I can get you on the show.
Yeah, you're a lucky man. In between the Washington Post, the LA Times, the New York Times, Esquire, Time Magazine, People Magazine, because due to the strike, Fassbender couldn't, I've been in Berlin, London, LA, Toronto. And finally, 3 days ago, the strike allowed the actors to be actively part of promoting the movie. So I've done all the heavy lifting for Fassbender last month. It's been a fun ride, but I'm over it a little bit.
And let's catch up our viewers. But Thomas, soccer, played Ajax, played for the Dutch national team, the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, the Diplomats. I don't remember other teams. You came here with Johan Cruyff, one of the greatest players, top five players in the world ever, I would say, at least. You know, you coached national teams. You coached me as a goalkeeper in college, and that must have been really hard.
Yeah. Remarkable. You're almost the level of American Samoa, but a little better.
Yeah, well, this is now, as a coach, now a movie's been written about a moment in your life where you coach the Samoan national team, who are basically the bad news bears of international soccer.
Yeah, pretty much. If that meant that the bad news bears were the worst team in the world, then yeah, you can relate to that. They were ranked last in the FIFA rankings, 204 countries. They were 204th, not won a game in 20 years, not scored a goal in 20 years. Lost 31-0 against Australia, which is the worst ever qualifying defeat. And here's TR, taking, by the way, 3 days to get to American Samoa, because it's only two flights a week go from Hawaii to the island. So, hey, Michael Fassbender is playing in the movie. How's your day going, Dougie?
Yeah, exactly. So the movie was written, Next Goal Wins, and Michael Fassbender, who, if you are movie buffs out there, he plays X-Man. He is Magneto.
Magneto, you're right. Yeah. And he's in Inglourious Basterds, by the way.
Absolutely.
He played Stephen Jobs and was nominated for an Oscar.
And here is, so when they say, who is going to play Thomas Rongen? Who can we get, you know, that'll play Tom and Michael Fassbender, which, congratulations, because, you know, if it was me.
It was supposed to be Russell Crowe, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's too fat, dude. I mean, you know, you're a slender fella.
That's what Taiki Waititi won an Oscar for Jojo Rabbit 2 years ago and did the Thor sequels for Disney. That's what he said. My fat bastard friend Crowe can't do it, so Fassbender is playing you. I went, all right, either or, I'll take him.
Yeah, yeah. If they had a movie about me, they'd have to bring Dom DeLuise from the dead to play me. That would be the reality moment. So congratulations on that. And, you know, I mean, is that sinking in? Is this, because you and I had spoken about this a year or two ago with everything that was going on, and we didn't, you know. But now, I mean, is it like, is it sinking in? Is this just like, I mean, because you've been in the, you played in the spotlight. It's not like you, just like, you know, you're a farm boy, you know, who just came to the big city.
Well, not really. I'm from downtown Amsterdam. So, you know, if you meet me in a dark alley, Dougie, you're in trouble. So I mean,
yeah.
I could have been easily part of the Brazil-Argentina crowd, you know, duking it out a little bit. But in saying that, yeah, of course, it's been incredible. You know, I came here in 1979 as a 21-year-old. I thought an adventure. Here I am playing with Johan Cruyff against George Best and Franz Beckenbauer and the old NASL days, Pele, obviously. Fast forward to now, I'm calling into Miami and Messi's game, and somewhere in between high school, Nova Southeastern, where Dougie, in fact, was, you know, our goalkeeper. Coached there a little bit, MLS. Won a cup with the DC United. And then somewhere in between a documentary in 2014 about American Samoa and eventually getting that 2-1 win against Tonga, baby.
You know, first of all, here's the thing. As a goalkeeper, losing 31-0, did the goalkeeper stay in the entire game? Like all 31 goals?
The goalkeeper made like 10 unbelievable saves. It could be 50, seriously. Although, when I first spoke to him, he had retired. He told me, I walked the streets and people recognized me. Oh, you give up 31-0. And my son, who's 8 years old, thinks I'm a failure. And I coaxed him back, Dougie, to come back. He came back. Yeah, and finally he wins 2-1 and he comes up to me after the game. He's crying. He goes, my son thinks I'm a hero, coach. I mean, those are great moments, obviously, for him and for me as well. The redemption, the underdog story of the team, but also of him giving up 31 and finally winning a game. Yeah, that's can't make up that stuff.
Yeah, who comes back from that? I mean, you know, that's that 31 goal. As a goalkeeper, I don't know. I would take all the mirrors out of my house. You know, I would be like, just kidding. You know, it's just, like 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, 31 goal, dude. It's amazing. You know, so in the win, what was the main component of the win? That you know,
it was Nicky Salupa. That's the goalkeeper. It was the first transgender that ever played in a male World Cup qualifying game. Jaya Salua, and it was a 17-year-old who scored the winner in Luani, Shalom Luani. And going to the Shalom story, after 3 days on the island, I give him a day off and I go to the president, what's going on? He goes, well, there's an American high school football final. Rugby and football are the two big sports in Polynesia and those countries. So I go there, I see this running back who's 17, I think he's a freshman or a junior. And I go, I want that guy. He goes, he's never played soccer. I go, I don't care. I had one guy in midfield that was a good passer. And if I could teach this guy not to run off sides, I knew that a lot of through balls and he would get a lot of 1v1. So for 2 weeks, I did specific through ball training and how to finish. And he finishes the winner, you know, the 2-1. Fast forward 10 years later, I get a call, goes, coach, you remember, I'm Shalom. Oh, of course Shalom. He scored the winner. Yeah, I'm in Miami, and I'm starting safety for the Oakland Raiders. I got two tickets for against the Dolphins. I mean, how crazy is that?
That is amazing. You know, the through ball for the non-soccer is basically when somebody has the ball, and there's guys on your side of the field, and then you know he's going for it, and they, you know, like Gretzky says, pass the puck where you're going to be. The ball is placed where he's going to be. Breaks through and makes his way to the end goal. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah,
correct. He had a Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal, an assist, and a yellow card.
Oh yeah. Well,
you can use that one in your next show if you want.
I will. Somebody asked me. We did an interview one time. They're like, what would be like the equivalent, like if you bomb on stage as a comic. You know, like, because that's one of the worst things, you be on stage and nobody's laughing, you're bombing, right? The only thing I can equate to that with soccer would be an own goal, right? Like, you know what I mean? So we're going to get into that a little bit. All right. What enticed, listen, how do you take the job to coach the worst team? Like, I mean, I know you, I know an answer because you love the underdog, you like building, you know, so.
Yeah, no. None of that above. I got a call in 2010. I was the head coach of the U.S. under 20 national team, which means you have breaks because you go to tournaments to prepare for qualifying and eventually the World Cup, which for the under 20s, the U.S. men's national team is every 2 years. So sometimes I get a month and a half. So I get a call from our president, Sunil Gulati, and he's going, we have a territory called American Samoa. And they need some help in preparing for World Cup qualifiers. Do you want to go? So I'm in a bar, going to a buddy. Where's American Samoa? He goes, next to Fiji. So I go without knowing anything. I go, yeah, I'm in. I put the phone down, I Googled them, and then I find out they're the worst team in the world. So I took it because I've never been to the continent. It was the last continent. I needed to conquer it, Dougie. I did.
Yeah, the true Viking in you. They, you know,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're right. Like, you, the first thing you thought was, like, drinks with umbrellas in them, you know, sitting back by the water. You think, oh, what a good
well,
game.
I did that too.
Yeah, okay.
In the nicest hotel, which is probably equivalent to a 3-star in my own little, you know, whatever. And yeah, there were some daiquiris,
nice.
Some Heineken, there were some island shots, you know, very interesting.
Now, the movie had come out, or is it, I thought it was Thanksgiving.
No, it's out now, Dougie.
Oh, okay, jeez, I got
10.2 million in 2 days. Thanks for coming. And the only thing I got out of it is a Next Go Wins t-shirt. Thank you, Disney. Yeah, very nice. Royalties? No, Mr. Rogan, you got no chance.
Oh, really? I was going to go into that as the fiduciary. I mean, I want to know if you had any part in the movie, if you had any skin in the movie, as they'd say.
No
any
skin back end. In this movie.
No.
But a potential documentary, you know, the curious case of, or the curious tale of Thomas Rogan. Because everybody wants to know, who the fuck is Thomas Rogan?
Yeah. Thomas.
Or
no,
that's
Tom...
what people suggest. I'm not so sure if they want to know really who Thomas Rogan is, but.
And I guess we can, because there was a dog. Me and Alfred went to Nova University.
Yep. You're in the sizzle, by the way.
Oh, we're in the sizzle?
Yeah, great. This great line of Alfred is talking about the six pack, me smoking, you know, two packs of Cameron Dunfield, and he's going, I didn't know that my father was from Amsterdam. Funny line. Well done.
Yeah, man. I that's what I'm there for. But dude, all right. So the movie, this is great. I saw the clip in one of the previews of the movie so far, and it's so funny. You guys are sitting there on the ground and the guys are supposed to jump over you because you're teaching trust, to trust your teammates, you know, believe in each other. Great lesson. Yep. And then of course, this, somewhat larger fella starts running towards you and it sounded like you, I mean, I thought Michael did a great job acting like you. He goes, no, you go around. You go around, fat fuck. You know what I mean? I pictured you at that point.
In the documentary, and he brought that back in the movie as well, though Taiki Waititi took quite a few liberties of changing, obviously, the docu, because otherwise he goes, you might as well watch the docu. I love what he did, actually. You know, he wanted to give his people, he's from New Zealand, from a Maori tribe, so he's indigenous. So he says, these are my people, the Polynesian people.
Yeah.
We live in the margins at times. And at the end of the day, he goes, it's a brilliant underdog story, biggest sport in the world that I don't know much about, he said. I'm a rugby guy. And 50% plus of the actors are from Samoan ancestry, which I love about him. He wanted to go back to his roots, he said. I made all these big movies. And I want to go back to what I love doing, actually, which includes some comedy. And he's like Tarantino, but funnier. He plays in most of his own movies, which he does in this one as well.
Yeah. And I think it's, well, you mentioned, I read that about an article where he said that, where they took it in some different directions. But yeah, what are you going to do? That's creative and stuff like that. So, all right. So, Let's talk about. Oh, I lost my screen here, buddy. Let's talk about the some of the days. Like, Coach used to drink with us. You know, I don't know if we could say this now, but we used to go out after the games.
Yeah.
Most of the Swedes on our team were in their 20s, which was odd.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 19 years old in college, and I'm with this guy.
Very early already, like alcoholics. By the way, oh my god, those Vikings, they can drink, Dougie.
If you play soccer with a Viking, that means, like you said, you smoking Camels unfiltered, you know, and you still look like the lizard man out there. This guy was in the greatest shape, like, you know, and I'm dying just to get the Cooper's test done. I'm you know, every year preseason, I got to do 2 miles in 12 fucking minutes, and everybody, right. The Swedes are sitting there, come on, Dougie, you fucking, you know, it's like a cheering section. Meanwhile, you guys are drinking vodka before you did it, you know, and shooting, and then I'm here, I'm like training for, like, I'm going to the Olympics just to do two miles in 12 minutes, and I will say this, and on full disclosure, I'm sure there was a few times I didn't make it. Like, I'm sure the watch stopped for me on the last quarter mile somehow.
It did, because I also knew that you would be the starter. So I'm going, okay, this is a fine line. He's at 13 minutes, 21 seconds. How do I finagle it? Dougie, yeah. You got a minute and a half left for the last 200 meters, Dougie. You're right on time. 10 minutes, 30 seconds. You might break the record. And there he rolls in around 15 minutes and becomes a starter. Well done, Dougie.
Yeah, he's giving me that pep talk, and I'm laying on the ground. Okay, I'll finish this. I was a goalkeeper. Didn't have to worry about that.
I declined to go to a Panthers game to be with you on. And by the way, a Polish model was going to be my date.
Oh, boy.
Not a Russian. Don't go there, Dougie. Polish.
No, okay? I didn't. Listen. I could just tell you, my friends know I drive a lot, Thomas. So I had a guy who's all with this war and stuff, the Ukrainian war. He says to me, he's like, you don't put Russian gas in your car, do you? I'm like, how the hell am I going to know if I put Russian gas in my car? Does my car make noises like Putin, Putin, Xi Jinping, Xi Jinping? I thought I'd throw that joke in there.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right, here's the thing. Honesty and coaching. Tell me about this, coach. How important is honesty in coaching?
Oh, it's... Look at the younger generation of coaches now. And then let's use the guy at the Dolphins. I go to most of the Dolphins games. McDaniels, emotional intelligence. They show that they're vulnerable at times, which I think is healthy. Things I didn't do early in my career. You know, Dougie was pretty direct. It was Dutch, so he's in your face. And honest as well, which I think at the end of the day, most players rather have that level of directness than beating around the bush. All you guys knew where you stood, and I carried it on through my professional career. If I had to make tough decisions, I would close the door and look somebody in the eye and say, hey, you're not a starter anymore, or I got to trade you. And you know, if I look in the soccer community in the United States, throughout the world, if I talk to former players, they always bring that up. You know, we sincerely didn't always agree maybe with you, but we respected your decisions, right, as harsh as they were. So yeah, those have become very important components of coaching, how to reach out to players and how to push their right buttons and how to embrace them so they embrace you in a respectful, trustful, meaningful way, you know? And I think that's very important, I think, in coaching, in order for guys to want to perform up to the level that I wanted to perform, obviously, because at the end it was still about winning games. But I'm telling you, man, that month in Polynesia taught me so many things. If I would go back into coaching, I would be a much better coach, quite frankly, having been there and dealing with a group of humans that want to desperately make their country proud and haven't been able to do that for two decades, you know, not scored a goal for two decades, but keep coming back. And their mantra, you know, early on was, coach, the last time we played Tonga, we lost 21-0. If we can keep it at 15, that would be success, coach. Am I correct?
Yeah.
What? Excuse me? So for me to change those losers into winners, because the day against Tonga, when I do my last spiel, you know, we get emotional and I look in their eyes and I go to myself, I think they believe they can win, and they went out winning, and that was rewarding personally, but more so for that small island nation, you know. Brilliant.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, because obviously the Samoan people are very hardy, like, you know, they're not like lazy. These people, you know what I mean? It's great as a coach, like you have all this energy, right? This raw energy and talent and just belief and positive stuff, but you don't, I say talent, but you don't have the talent. So, you know, what was like, so you said, let me just get to the basics. Like, what, like you had all that energy for these guys to turn it around, but you basically said, what was the key for you to say, this is what I need to get them to do?
Yeah, well, after I found out, when I said yes, that they were the worst team in the world, I did look at some video. I looked at some opponents as well. And I knew the margins were a lot slimmer than 22 or 24-0. If I tweaked this a few things tactically, made them better technically, which is not easy in 3 weeks, quite frankly. They weren't fit, although they thought they were fit. You know, they're guys made for the NFL, you know, I mean, for the rugby league, but they didn't have 90 minute fitness, and they lost games, or they gave up most of the goals, I would say the last 20 minutes of the game. So I knew in 3 weeks I could make some strides there. The biggest one, as I said again, was team building, both on and off the field, that allowed that team to finally believe. And then that was the biggest triumph, I think, as well. As I said again, I tweaked a few things. I knew of the static high lines of some of the opponents, you know, that played that way. Yeah. And I knew that we would have some success against them. And not only was it the 2-1 win against Tonga, because we're in, you know, four teams are in that pre-qualifying for the World Cup, and then the winner goes to the final phase, where you see New Zealand, for instance, that's the big powerhouse in the Oceania Confederation, normally does go to the World Cups. So we tied to Solomon Islands the next day, which was progress as well, and were at 0-0 against Samoa. And the qualifiers were held in Samoa, which is a different island than American Samoa and not a territory of the United States. That's where the qualifying games are. 0-0. Winner goes through. We both have 4 points. We hit the post around the 90th minute. And in the transition, Samoa scores the winner, and they win 1-0, and they go to the final phase. And I knew already, I was deep down saying, let's not win this game, because this is like a perfect ending. And Samoa, who was equal to us, goes there, loses against Fiji 15-0, loses against New Zealand 18-0. And I knew our team probably had that same destiny. So
yeah,
for us to walk away there with a win, and in first time in 20 years, more kids, you know, a few months later, I talked to the president and says, Thomas, we have more signups of young kids for soccer, what you've done for this island.
Oh, that's huge.
Talk about legacy and stuff like that, building a field. Thank you so much. And that's very rewarding.
Yeah. You were an accelerant to the importance of the game there. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you're right. You George Costanza's at it, coach. You got out when you needed to get out. Like sometimes as a comic, we tell comics, look, if you're supposed to do 20 minutes and have 15 minutes, you're crushing. George Costanza, walk away. There's no shame in pulling out early when on the high.
Yeah.
I think.
Which is hard.
In
any walk of life, be it an athlete, when I decide to retire, look at Jordan, tries to come back and you know, it's hard. Look at LeBron James still hanging on to potentially maybe win the title with the Lakers, but should he've retired a few years ago already? And then your business is the same thing, you're right. When you hit a few good lines and the crowd is with you, it's like, ooh, shall I extend this for 10 minutes or should I just say, this is it? Yeah, that's a hard, tough decision.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than being on stage watching a comic continue going on and lingering because he's waiting for a big laugh. He's like, oh, I can't end in this one. Oh, I better. Here's one I want to try. I'm like, get off the stage. All right, let me get into some quick questions. Roy, what is up with Manchester United, my team? I mean, is the coach? Is he? I mean, he's got a lot of work. I mean,
yeah. I mean, let's be real honest. I think Ten Hag, who's Dutch, coached Ajax in those brilliant years, which was only 2 or 3 years ago that we beat Real Madrid. We were one goal away to go to the Champions League final in 2019, 2020. And Ten Hag was the coach. Tottenham beat us and went to the finals that year. So I can see why Man United was attracted to a guy that comes from an Ajax culture, good attacking football, which Man United always wanted to do, particularly at home. Had a great first year, let's be real honest. But now, yeah, the wheels are coming off. And then you got, you know, the Glazer family from a distance, not liked by the fans. And there's so many underlying, you know, things. And it started with him basically saying, okay, I'm going to take on Ronaldo here and I'm going to show who's the boss. You remember that Ronaldo didn't want to come in with 2 minutes, didn't dress for a game. And he basically said, get out of here. And he's, I don't think he's ever really recovered from that, or initially the players probably applauded him. Okay, fair enough. Right. But now there seems to be every month a problem with a particular player that hasn't helped, obviously, on the field at all. Last place in their group in the Champions League, middle of the table, which still isn't good enough. But now what do? You know, do you X him again, which is then the 12th gauche since Sir Alex. You know, nobody's been able to get back to Sir Alex and the Man United, the Beckhams and the Giggses and stuff like that. So that's a tough one. I would stick with him, quite frankly, at least through the end of the year, and then look at where we're at. Yeah.
Bring Sir Alex back. That's the only thing we can do. Just bring him back. Get him back out there. Just give him like one of those trolleys, like a remote. He can run around on the remote.
I don't know if he's a positive or a negative, because he's at every game, and he still has a lot of influence. And I think he's right now, although he was a big Ten Hag proponent, I think he's sawing a little bit, you know, behind Ten Hag's back, because he thinks a change needs to be made. And it's not nice having to look over your shoulder all the time, but that's Man United, you know?
Yeah, what are you going to do? What is the best league in the world?
Yeah, you know, you can arguably say it's Serie A last year, with what was it, three out of the four semifinalists were from Serie A, you know, Napoli, Inter, Milan. But you got to say it's the EPL. You know, you look, the great measuring stick, I think, is Champions League, where obviously the EPL teams have dominated from Chelsea to Liverpool to now Manchester City, and they're going to win it for a few more years, I think, with Pep at the helm. So you got to say the EPL, the way it's televised, the way it's all done, it's just, it's the biggest in the world. Now, you can arguably say that the French league, you know, is a league that's pretty interesting because the French national team does well, but the majority of those guys play abroad, with the exception of maybe Mbappe, you know. So I would say it's the EPL. Then I think, I'll be real honest with you, it's the Bundesliga, then Serie A, then La Liga, who've lost a lot of power when Messi and Ronaldo left already, although Real Madrid and Barcelona are still two great institutions, you know.
Absolutely. I already brought to you about De Gea. He's gone. So I know we can press on time. I'm going to go off the stories. Forget our stories. Not even going to bother getting into that. I'll just read the headlines, and the U.S. players slam Sergino Dest for getting two yellow cards. This was the other day. The U.S. national team was playing Trinidad Tobago, and a guy, stupid thing, got two yellow cards, kicked out of the game, and ended up losing 2-1 to Trinidad Tobago. We're ahead 3-2 in the aggregate. 4-2, whatever it was. So, I mean, bonehead plays. Yeah. You know, any bonehead plays that you remember, Thomas? You were part of, or you?
Catastrophic. You remember we didn't go to the 2018 World Cup because we didn't get a result in. We only needed to draw TNT, and we lost 1-0, and don't make it to the 2018 World Cup. When I was the head scout for Bruce Arena, so I suffered for many years, and this could have been the same, quite frankly. Thank God it was only a 2-1 loss, and we now get that berth to the Copa America, which will be held next year in this country, where Argentina will play with Messi, Brazil, Uruguay, you know, and the U.S. men's national team. Much needed preparation to get those quality games going into the 2026 World Cup. But bonehead move, absolute bonehead move. The only other one I can think of is actually, which is good and bad, was the goal of the year by George Best in 1981 against the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. Away, Ray Hudson scores an offside goal. Everybody can see it, but it stands. And Bestie is nuts. Takes the ball from the midfield, dribbles everybody, dribbles past me, waits for me to recover, Dougie, to nutmeg me again and laugh at me a little bit, and curls at one upper V. Runs to the goal, gets his ball. This is at Spartan Stadium in San Jose Earthquakes he played for. Runs up the ramp to the locker room, gets in his car, whoop, and leaves. With the ball, by the way, the game ball. We had another one, don't worry about it, it was the NASL. So the great thing is Bestie, who we all know has great history of incredible stories. if he stayed for the second half, which he didn't because he left, again, with the game ball, they'd probably win. With him not being there, that gave us an opportunity to beat them 2-1 on the road. So Bessie, brilliant goal, but if you stay, you help your team win. So that was a bonehead move at the end maybe as well.
Yeah, he had a couple birds waiting in the apartment for him. Bessie was ladies' man.
He was married to Miss World. I got some great stories about that.
We're talking about George Best, right? George Best.
Yeah, George Best was married twice to Miss World, by the way.
But George Best was basically considered, was going to be, what I always heard when I was a kid was he was better than Pelé, but because he was such a womanizer, because he was such a cocksman, it got in the way of his game.
Yeah, well, not only that, he died a tragic death because his liver just collapsed because he was alcoholic as well. Yeah. Besides a womanizer and besides spending all his money. And besides, he's from Northern Ireland that never goes to a World Cup. But if I have to put three guys in the top three, Bestie will always be there. Fucking genius.
Who are your top three? Who's your?
Okay, I'm old school, Pele, Maradona, Bestie, new school, Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe, Haaland.
Yeah, it's a pretty good game. All right, Bryce James, LeBron James' son. His youngest son transferred back to Sierra Canyon in third move last 6 months. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree when it comes to LeBron's kids. You ready? Yeah. I'm going to take my talents to Sierra Canyon. I'm going to take my talents now to Sierra. Oh, I'm going back to the Chez.
I took my kids actually three times out of high school and moved to three different cities in 4 years. But that had to do with the fact I had to go. This is ridiculous, obviously, you know. LeBron James trying to find the perfect situation for his son, the coach that will love him and play him all the time. And you suffer, you know. It's just insane. But, you know, he should retire. His son should retire. That's it. And do that. But he was at, LeBron was at one of the Messi games, and LeBron James was like, he said, Lily, I'm part of the conversation. And he goes to Messi through an interpreter. He goes, I was big for the Heat. But he goes, you're the man. You are the man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not even, you know, compared. I was a Miami Heat season ticket holder when he was there. I benefited financially with my StubHub. I sold the shit out of those tickets. But when he complained about cramps in the playoffs one year, I was like, that's it. Cramps? A goat doesn't get cramps, baby. All right. We'll go ahead and move over that story. All right. Here's some funny headlines we didn't have, and you tell me which one you think is the funniest. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
I need your coaching judgment here on comedy. Our first headline, Iraqi head seeks arms.
Iraqi head seeks arms?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the headline. Okay. All right. A little giggle out of the coach. Our second headline, police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers.
Yeah, that's interesting. Don't move to California, by the way, where jaywalking is like an incredible offense. It's a $300 fine, which I found out after, you know, sending $600 to some police unit in downtown L.A. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the police are interesting people. They try to protect you, but on the other hand, they also kill you at times.
Yeah. Our third one, British left waffles on Falkland Islands.
Oh, my God. These British guys, and these Argentinians, they leave waffles. The Argentinians go back a year later, and they put their mate, you know, they drink down the island as well. It's all about what can we conquer? What can we conquer with food nowadays? Well, waffles will go a long way.
As long as we're not talking about blue waffles, that's a whole other story.
Or Stroop waffles from the Netherlands.
Thomas, do you know what blue waffles are?
Blue waffles has something to do with testicles, I'm sure.
No.
Blue?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I'm gonna do the same thing, Coach, that somebody did to me once, and I'm going to ask you, once we finish this podcast, because we don't have time to do it, I want you to go and Google blue waffles. And then I want you to text me the first thought that you have for me for introducing you to blue waffles.
Okay. All right. I like that. Correct. Yeah.
All right.
Are you taking
all right.
me like so, to a weird little city in West Virginia where fathers?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No, it is just something that says, have you ever seen blue waffles? And then you go, no, I haven't. Then you go online. You can never forget it. All right.
Well,
in
the Netherlands, actually, we have, and I'll tell you the Dutch, my mom used to say when I was like around 18, heb jij blauwe, which is blue, waffles.
Oh no!
Blauwe waffles is blue waffles, but in Holland meant something else.
Blauwe waffles.
Like, he thought somebody needed to drain me. I didn't really get it.
No, you're going to be very disappointed on what this blue waffles is. Then, all right. Another storyline: Enfield in London, couple slain, police suspect homicide.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. The English.
In our last one, hospitals are sued by 7-foot doctors.
Yeah. You go to the Netherlands, where we all are 7 feet and taller. That's a normal occurrence, quite frankly. That happens downtown Amsterdam. Amsterdam Hospital is like, they're all like, we're little giants. We're little from the Netherlands.
You guys are the chosen.
Thomas from Holland. Yeah, I'm 7 feet. Yeah, oh, I'm so big. Yeah.
All the tall Dutch guys with uncircumcised penises. You're all uncircumcised. Let's just get that straight. You're all Anders
over
there. By the way,
are you circumcised or not? I'm a. Okay, fair enough. You got a helmet.
I got a helmet.
That's okay.
I have a helmet. Yeah.
There's a theory about uncircumcised men that the majority, not the majority, but a high percentage, turns into mass murderers because of this incredible thing they do to your body that's very painful and somehow disconnects your brain from properly thinking, and they kill people.
Wow.
Yeah, mass murderers are all uncircumcised. Proven.
All mass murderers are uncircumcised.
Yeah, go Google it.
Well, I'm gonna go take the bullets out of my gun.
And mass murders will be very interesting.
You'll be glad you told me this after you go look at the blue waffles. all right, there you go. And then I'm just
blue,
really quick.
Is blue spelled B-L-E-W?
No, B-L-U-E, blue, like the color.
Oh, okay.
Blue, you know what blue waffles are? Okay.
Uncircumcised.
Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blue. Now, I'm sure there's a bunch of viewers watching going like, he's going to do it. Don't look. But, I'll give you a hint. The same thing happened with somebody asked me if I've ever looked at Two Girls, One Cup. That's another video you got to look up. Two Girls, One Cup.
Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah, you're in trouble. If the FBI show up tomorrow, it's not my fault.
Don't all right. steer me in the wrong direction. I've been there.
All right, we're going to do this real quick. We're going to do this real quick. We got to run, Thomas. Quickest thought. I'm going to give her a couple things. Own goal. I say a word, you tell me for own goal.
Own goal, dirtbag.
Yeah. my bad.
My bad?
My bad. Excuse- my bad.
Okay, excuse moi.
Yeah, excuse moi. Keeper!
Oh, my God. When I hear keeper, and in particular when you called it, I'm going to the ball because Dougie never gets there. So
that was one of those truth moments where you say, Dougie, you're too short to be a professional goalkeeper. I remember that talk. Our last one, no fear.
Living proof right here.
There
next
go.
Goal wins. No fear, baby.
I want to thank my buddy Thomas Rongen, former coach of mine, wonderful person. Go watch Next Goal Wins. It's amazing.
I
already
lied
have people
a little
bringing
bit
me up
about that. No fear, because I was driven by fear of failure. By the way, just to let you know.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I got a fear. Fear of success is worse than fear of failure. That was something I always remember. But please go see Next Goal Wins, a great moment in time with Michael Fassbender, plays our buddy here, Thomas Rongen. And also, hopefully that the documentary comes out where I'm in. and get a little bit of me, you, and Alfred from Omar reminiscing. But this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We thank you so much for joining us. Please look up Thomas's story and watch Next Goal Wins this weekend when you're home with your family eating turkey. God bless you all. Take a day off. Take Friday off. If your boss makes you go to work Friday, tell him, fuck you, I ain't going to work on Friday. It's Thanksgiving. Okay? Enjoy. See you guys next time right here at the same spot.